Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Saturday is Black by Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that can help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans can't. We have no option to say.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Hey there, Robert. There's no audio for you, so if you're talking, you must be muted on your end. Are you there? Hello, hello. Robert, you're muted on your end. Well, this is your co-host, Lori Ann. Hopefully you all can hear me, unless BTR is having issues. Okay, good. All right. Thanks, Gunslinger. Which, by the way, hello, Mike. Hello, Boyd. Hello, Gunslinger. See you in the chat room. Robert must be muted or having some audio issue on his end. Robert doesn't know what's going on with this audio. Might have to hang up and call back in again. Looks like we got Gunslingers unmuted. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Good.
I hear,
Good. I'm not all by myself and lonesome.
I guess BTR is at it again.
Robert says in the chat room that his mic is turned on, but he's checking it. Maybe it's a connection issue or something. I don't know what he had on the agenda to talk about, but I guess we could talk about some stuff. What's going on? I guess down there in Texas, some guy rammed a semi-truck into, the department or whatever that denied him his commercial driving license. And so he rammed a semi-truck in there, and I think what I heard, if I'm correct, is that there is one person that is dead, two people are in critical condition, and I think like 16 other people injured or something like that, last I heard. So that just happened earlier. So that's not good. All because he didn't get his commercial driver's license approved. So now he's a murderer.
Now that number is completely and totally below that.
Goes from truck driver.
I didn't hear that he killed anyone.
That really stands out most, because here you have a president, just like you talked about, one of many walkers with Jesus, as you just showed when he said that he inherited, quote,
what part of Texas is this happening? I didn't even hear about it.
I can't remember the name of the town right off the top of my head, but they said it was 75 miles west of Houston, about halfway between Houston and Austin.
Oh, yeah, that's down south. It's a little town, man. I don't even know what. I don't even know.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, the host has finally got here.
Oh, I was here before. And
he's not recorded.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm here now. I had my microphone turned on. I was talking along, and all of a sudden, Lorianne said, we're not hearing you. So I'm just bringing everybody in.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Hey there. Update on that story. One person is dead and 13 are injured. Two of those 13 are in critical condition after that semi-trailer crashed into the Texas Public Safety Office. In Brenham, Texas.
Brenham,
he stole an 18-wheeler that somebody had left, the driver had left it running. And so he hopped in there and stole it and then rammed into the building.
You know, they make ice cream down there, don't you? The little creamery in Brenham.
Uh-oh. They're after ice cream. Chinese. It's a terrorist attack.
Yep.
Well,
the driver's name was Leonard Parker. 42-year-old Leonard Parker.
Wow. Sounds like a white male. That's a Nazi. He's a Nazi.
Yep.
He's a Nazi?
No, actually, he's a black male.
Oh, my Lord. Well, it doesn't matter. He's still a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. He's a black Nazi white supremacist.
Yeah.
that's a big old truck. I'm watching it on WFAA.com here now. Wow. 18-wheeler. Plowed right into that something. Oh, babe. Wow.
What I had started to talk about here... And Lori Ann brought in another good one that I had seen something about, but this one that I had started to talk about when my microphone was not working. The Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays says the decision by the Arizona Supreme Court to ban abortions completely is and uphold the 1864 law is inconscionable and an affront to freedom. Now, where is saving the lives of helpless babies an affront to freedom?
Well, here's the deal with that. This is what we get when we have this done, when we have what they did and by reversing Roe, all right?
Yep.
You know, sending it back to the states, this was a decision made by the state Supreme Court of forget about if you agree with the law or not, if you think it's too draconian or not, that's not the point. The point is the state of Arizona made this decision, not
yep.
the federal. That's what I'm looking at. I don't care about, I don't care about if Carrie Lake ran from it or whatever, or if Abe Hamaday ran from it or whatever. No, that's not the point. The point is the state made the decision, not Washington, not some all-encompassing Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court decision, you know, so...
Yep.
Yeah. I want to save as many lives. Go ahead.
Well, you know, what's going on is Arizona's Democrat Attorney General says she will not enforce the 1864 law that was upheld by the state Supreme Court on Tuesday, banning nearly all abortions. Now, my question is if this went their direction, would she enforce it then? Of course she would.
Just by making that statement, that's right there. She should be arrested. He's a public, he's sworn oath.
Exactly.
That's the 10th of the Constitution.
And they can,
where's the local sheriff?
Yeah, where's the local sheriff, yeah.
But they keep telling us, you know, if it doesn't matter if you like the law or not, you got to follow it if it's a law. Well, what about this way? This is the law. The Supreme Court made it a law, and she's going against the law by not enforcing it. So shouldn't she lose her job? Shouldn't she be thrown in jail?
Yes. That's why they have jails at the Capitol. That's why they have jails at the Capitol.
But
so when politicians do that, they get thrown in there.
This woman is an unlawful, Katie Hobbs is not the lawful governor of Arizona. Lawful governor of Arizona should be Carrie Lake. They cheated Carrie Lake, and she got it, and, you know, and she was running for governor, and she was holding the office of AG at the time, you know, AG at the time, and she shouldn't have been able to do that, hold one while running for the other. Right? Or was it AG? It was one of the other offices. And the law is you can't run for one while holding the other. You got to give one up, and she didn't.
What law is that?
That's what I understood. You can't hold one office and run for another at the same time.
That's right. You can't dual offices. You can't do that.
Until they're elected and take the office that they've been elected to, they're not holding two offices.
Yeah, they are, 'cause once they're elected, then they are.
No, they're not holding it until they're sworn in.
You can't hold. Most of the time when these guys, like for instance, if a guy wants to run for governor of a state, but he's in Washington D.C. as a House member, what that person will usually do is he will resign his House membership to run for governor. Meaning, you can't hold the House membership and run for governor at the time. All right? That's the law. That's the law. That's what I'm talking about. You can't hold one office while running for the other office. That's what it is. And that's what Katie Hobbs did.
I don't think you're correct on that.
Because
you know, there's been a lot of people who, you know, would run for like the governor that are a representative or something, you know, of the state when the office comes up, and they're still doing the job that they're at. I mean, it's like the only group of people that I know that have to give up their job to run for office are, you know, like radio, TV personalities and stuff like that. I didn't think that it applied to, you know, people running for office that actually are in an office, because it would be the same thing as if you wanted to run for office and you're doing your work, you know, say at a factory or something like that, that you'd have to quit your factory job to go run for office?
No, because I'm not a public servant.
You wouldn't quit your factory job to run for office if that was your only income, and you wouldn't quit your job to run for office until you won the election.
Well,
and even then you wouldn't even have to quit your job. You'd take a leave of absence from your job.
Well, technically, anyway.
Okay, so what she was, let's see, minority leader of the Arizona Senate. Oh, before she was the governor, Katie Hobbs was the state secretary of state. So what it was, she was running her own election. While she was the secretary of state and trying to get elected governor, she was running the election, right? In other words, she was in charge of her own election as the Secretary of State, which allowed her to cheat her way into the because she was controlling the election, right? She should have given up her state, her secretary.
That there is a job where I think that should apply. But, like up here right now, okay, this very moment, right now,
yep,
we have a mayoral election going on right now in Anchorage, all right? One of the people that is running for that office is on the city council. And if she doesn't win, she still maintains her city council office. But, you know, if she wins, you know, she's out of the city council and becomes mayor. But she won't hold both offices at the same time. But
right.
Until she becomes is elected mayor, or, you know, if she gets elected, then, you know, until then she's still a member of the city council.
Well, yeah. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Kamala Harris give up her U.S. Senate seat when she found out she was going to be vice president?
I believe, you know, I don't know.
Yes, she did.
Tell you the truth.
But anyway, it doesn't make a difference anyway, because like I've always stated and been saying that it doesn't matter because we have not re-inhabited fully and totally our republic. We're still a corporation ran by the District of Columbia. So it doesn't matter. That's why all these things can happen. That's why all this confusion can happen. You mean to tell me they can't figure out the Constitution? You know, so they're going to get away with it. They're going to continue getting away with these crimes until people can fully understand what happened after the Reconstruction Acts and understand 1933. Until then, nobody's going to get it. Until then, we're just going to keep battling with each other, thinking our vote counts when it doesn't. I mean, I hope everybody understands this, and they understand that it's a corporation. This corporation does not represent you. You became a resident. You lost your American citizenship. You became an American resident now. You're a resident, okay? You became a 14th Amendment slave. You have to understand this stuff. Until people understand it, you're not just – it's just, you can keep voting. Keep trying to change things. Keep yelling and screaming, protect the border. They're not listening. They don't have to listen. They represent a corporation. You're contracted in, and you will obey them. Simple as that. You have no money. You're not allowed to have money. You have debt-based notes called receipts, called Federal Reserve notes. You know, and that's what you use to exchange debt with. You're not allowed to have gold and silver and barter with that. So what? Until then.
What's the term they use for people in prison? They call them what? Wards of the state, right?
Yeah.
They're ward of the state, right?
Yeah.
That's what we are. We are all wards of the state.
Yes, you are. It's sad. If people say, that's silly. It's not. When you really look at it and you say, well, how come nothing changes? How come you can't get anything done? How come they don't listen to you? How come when you call, they don't take your phone call? Because they don't have to. How come you can't get no rights in courts? Yeah, you see some people win a lawsuit here and there. Oh, big victory, you know? You know, but really, all in all, you don't win.
We don't, and Joe, you're right. We're not electing a president. We're electing a CEO.
Yes.
You know, we're all part of the board of directors, and we're electing the CEO, and the CEO we want is Trump, but they hate Trump. You know, Trump is our CEO. You know,
in law.
That's who we want as the CEO, and they're not listening to us.
I know. In law, words are very big, important when you deal with law. Words matter. When you have a word and it means something, it matters. Very importantly, Black's Law Dictionary, all these words matter. Look up what you are. Look up resident, citizen, legal United States, you know, of the United States, how they changed the wording of what the United States of America, how they changed everything over the years. Well, it's very slick.
You also got to figure out that, say, a mayor of a bumfuck city, Egypt, in the United States somewhere. The mayor is really, he's not really in charge, okay? He's just a figurehead. The ones that really make the shakes and the moves and decision is the city council.
Yep.
They're the ones that really makes everything move. The mayor is just, he's just up there just to click his gavel and look stupid, okay, which most of them do. Right? So, you know, it's the city council is what needs to be eliminated because that's where all these crazy ordinances, which I think is law, and it's not. Only Congress can make law. City councils cannot. They're just ordinances enforced by police, which is policy enforcers.
Yep.
There you have it. I mean,
Yeah. We don't have public law. There's no more public law. It's public policy now.
Corporate. Mm-hmm. Corporate. Yeah.
And here's the deal. What they say about that is personnel is policy. All right? If you will, and that's what they hate about. That's another thing that Trump wants to do is he wants to put his own personnel in the positions of power or position into certain positions where, you know, it would be easier for him to put his policies into action and without any pushback from idiots, from traitors and stuff like that, you know. So personnel is policy, you know. If you got, you know, for instance, okay, they Mayor Bumfuck Egypt says, I want this policy and I want this ordinance and to enforce that policy, it's a law for the cops to enforce that policy, to enforce that ordinance, allow for him to get his ordinances enforced by the cops, he needs the city policeman, commissioner, the police commissioner to come in there if it's a big enough city to have like Dallas. I sent Dallas as a commissioner, a police commissioner, right? So that police commissioner is not a cop. He's a politician.
These courthouses are illegal. They don't matter technically, but we contract with them and let them do what they do to us. We have to really be in an Article III court. And if you go to an Article III court or go to a federal district, U.S. United States District Court, they're not going to entertain you because most people walk in there and they have no clue about the law. And, you know, and so they're not going to, so they're going to use you and abuse you. So, you know, because I was reading something today about Superior Court, District Court. I'm like, damn, man, really, they have no power over us.
We're not under criminal court. We're not under Article III. We're under, what is it called? Law of the Sea or whatever it's called. It's
Admiralty
law. Yeah. And what do they call, when they talk about the state, right, what do they call, how do they refer to the state? They refer, they say it's the ship of state, right?
Yes.
Right? Exactly.
But you can't go into court and talking like that because they're going to think you're a whack job because they don't. They're not going to. Because they're not going to address you. They're not going to. It's hard to articulate it in words. But it's just, you're going to sound asinine if you go in there and talk about this sovereign, this and sovereign. It's just going to sound way bizarre because it's something that's not spoken of. You're not supposed to speak like that anyway in a court. But our courts are de facto. They're. If you look it up, man, look up de jure and de facto. North Carolina University. It addresses that. It addresses the de jure versus a de facto. A de jure officer. It's insane. But we don't correct our status, and we enter into their jurisdiction. And really, they don't know it themselves, but they do know it. At the same time, they don't know it. It's kind of weird. It's hard to say. But
right.
In reality, it's broken.
The biggest example of what we're talking about here, Joe, is you go into any courtroom in the country, right, and you look at the flag that's on the wall, the flag that's there. It's going to have fringe to it. That fringe means something.
Yes, it does. The military war. It's a military flag.
Military flag doesn't have it.
It means we're at war. We're under distress. There's a gold fringe on it. It's a corporation under distress.
Yep.
The United and States then, flag that you think we have is not our flag. That's not our real flag, what it really looks like. Look at a flag from 1787 or 1797 or something. Look at a flag. Yes, it has less stars on it because of states, but it's not the same. It doesn't look the same.
Yeah, it doesn't. And that's the thing. I mean, you look at these, you look at these technical, these details, the devil's in the detail. I mean, it's like Ron Reck always says, you go into court and you gotta, when you want something to be there, you gotta always say it's for the record to make sure it's in the record. Because if you don't say that, you know, it's, they're not gonna write it down, you know, it's for the record. For the record, you know.
And first year, second year, they don't teach you this in law school. When you finally get to the end, that's when they say, you know, this is you, this is the public. And then they're like, they know, you know what I mean? They know what the judge is and stuff like that, lawyers, prosecutors, they know. And they take an oath that, you know, they're not to all this stuff. I mean, are you going to throw away your $400,000 a year career for some guy who got a speeding ticket? I think not, right?
And certain people will laugh at you when you point things out, okay? For instance, I pointed things out to certain people about what's her name in Atlanta when she showed up with her backwards dress wearing her flag pin upside down. If you fly your flag upside down, that means something. That means something. That means there's a ship in distress. Right?
Yeah.
That's
yes,
what that means.
That means well,
you're
in
distress.
Yep. Well, yeah, that too, but generally speaking, when a ship flies its flag upside down, it's a ship in distress. And
like if a soldier puts his flag upside down, it means he's in distress. Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to do that. It's an insult. You know, really, people do that stuff.
Right. But Big Fanny knows that she is in distress, and she's still in distress because she may have found a way to get away from the state people, but she's using all kinds of federal money, grant money, in ways that she shouldn't be able to use it. You know, buying computers and trips and fucking shit like that, you know, excuse my language, but stuff like that, you know. And it's like she's still in trouble.
Well,
oh, and she's going to try. Go ahead.
Well, I want to get back to the Arizona Supreme Court.
Go ahead.
And we drifted away from it. But as far as I'm concerned, the Arizona Supreme Court is correct in its decision of, you know, there'll be no abortions, total ban on abortions in Arizona. And, you know, they were correct in that decision that they made. And the reason why they're correct on the decision that they made is that that is the only law that's on the book right now in Arizona. The only way that...
What law?
That could... Huh?
What's the law?
Total ban on abortions.
That's a law?
Yes.
Yes, from the 1860s.
1870, somewhere in that area.
1870.
Yeah.
I'd like to know for sure when that came out.
That's the only law that Arizona has on the books regarding abortion. And until the state legislature writes a new law, that is the law. You know, that if and when the legislature changes that law and writes a new one or whatever, that is the law of the land because it has not been changed. It's still on the books as it is written because, you know, up until Roe canceled all state laws regarding abortion and stuff, each state had their own laws on the books, which are now effective again.
Yep.
You know.
And that 1864 law actually bars all abortions except to save the life of the mother and also carries a sentence of 2 to 5 years for the abortionist. So.
Yes. So, you know. The state supreme court on that decision actually did the right thing because they refused to make law from the bench. It's
yep.
not their place to make law. We all know that. So. What the Supreme Court did there in Arizona was uphold the total, complete ban on abortion in the state, with only the few exceptions that were written into the law when it was written. It's up to
yep.
the legislature in Arizona now to amend it or write a whole new statute, you know, to get that
mm-hmm.
particular law off the books and everything else. The Supreme Court basically refused to write law from the bench, which is
correct. I don't
think
it's the right thing that they, what they did. I don't think it's the right law. I don't think it's the court's business at all. We already know we shall not murder. We know you can't murder. So if somebody commits abortion, that's murder. We don't need any laws saying you can't have an abortion. We already know that. We had common law back then, before then. I don't think it's the government's job to tell people what to do.
Well,
we already know we're not supposed to kill.
Well, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that the law is on the books, and when Roe came out, it superseded that law.
But that's unconstitutional. That violates
right.
the Constitution.
That's unconstitutional, right? So,
yeah, the Supreme Court of the United States of America wrote law from the bench. That is
yeah.
unconstitutional and everything. But.
And who made the law? The legislators don't.
That was,
but the legislators in Arizona can't do that either.
Yes, they can.
They cannot
subvert
the Constitution.
They can. The state of Arizona can, under the 10th Amendment, write up any law that they want to write
no,
up.
No, they cannot. No, they cannot. Marbury versus Madison. No, they cannot.
The court cannot write law.
The
period.
Constitution is the Constitution. The court can decide whether or not
court,
something is constitutional
the,
or not, but
the
they
court,
can't write law.
The court cannot make law.
They can't,
the
but
law,
they can rule.
The law,
they can
the
rule.
Law, the law is written up by the state legislatures.
No, it's not.
And yes, it is.
No, it's not. The Constitution is already in place, and you have a state constitution. The legislators have to adhere to that constitution. They cannot make laws and that subvert the Constitution. You're not understanding the republic. You're not getting the real form of republic.
Does it Does it subvert the Constitution?
Yes. You're telling a woman she can't do something. You can't do that. No, you can't do that, whether it's wrong or right. You can't do that. We already have a law. We already know what the law is. We already understand in common law and practice that you can't kill. We already know that. We don't need any more anything on the side here to add technical bullcrap to it. That's how this thing got mixed up to begin with. Right? We obey the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence, and we understand common law and the practice of what we're supposed to be doing here, and stop with this state versus those, state versus this, and get back to what we're supposed to be doing. We won't have this mess.
Okay, so here's the deal. There's a bill circulating around the legislature in Arizona about enshrining abortion in the Arizona Constitution. All right. Apparently, in much like here in Louisiana, and in Louisiana, in the Louisiana Constitution, right to life is enshrined in the Louisiana Constitution, just like it is in the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. Right to life, liberty, and property. Right. So.
Okay.
So that law in Arizona is a constitutional law because
we already you just double talked yourself. You said we already have it in the Constitution, and then we have a law that is constitutional. Why do we need another? Why do we need any type of policy or anything coming from the legislators saying that? Is it a constitutional amendment? Are we making an amendment here to the Constitution?
Because people are idiots.
If it doesn't matter, though. Just because people are idiots doesn't give the government the right to subvert or do anything that's unconstitutional.
You saw what happened in Ohio, right? They went in there and they enshrined abortion, which was an unconstitutional thing, but they enshrined abortion into the Ohio state constitution.
It was an amendment? They made an amendment? Constitutional amendment?
Yep.
Yes,
they did.
Okay, so it was a constitutional amendment then. If they get it by way of what, two-thirds or whatever, however they do it in that state, then fine. Then that's fine.
That's what they're trying to do in Arizona. They're trying to enshrine it into the Constitution of Arizona. Now, Will this constitutional amendment pass? We'll see. We'll see. But that's what that's their plan. That's the Democrats' plan. That's the Arizona Democrats' plan is to make it a constitutional right for abortion in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
See,
we have government too much in our lives. There's too much. There's too much in our lives and micromanaging our lives. That's not what this country was founded upon.
No, I agree with you there, Joe. I agree with you there. I mean, look, that goes back to who wants what, which you know, conservatives versus liberals, and who wants to be micromanagers. I mean, there's this book that was a favorite book of Woodrow Wilson called Philip Drew Administrator. And it's all about putting all these guys in offices in different departments and having them run the government instead of, you know, an administration, right? You know, instead of the president, right? Delegating the presidential powers to the people below him or her and all that stuff, administration, administrative state. That's what we're trying to fight. We're trying to fight the administrative state, right?
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm wondering where our friend Sarge is right now.
Well, we had a Skype number that called, and they raised their hands, and I let them in, but they left. So I'm not sure, and there's two Skype numbers in there right now.
We had a good one the other night with Montana Joe, me, and Tave there. We went meet against Liberal Dan. We did a real late night show. Oh, yeah, we had a big beef over there. So, but at the end of it all, at 2 o'clock in the morning, we finally got the Liberal to basically meet us on halfway ground.
Hmm. Well, that's a good
thing. Very interesting conversation.
Right, and at least, I mean, Liberal Dan sounds like he's like Nosh, you know, he's more reasonable than some of these other people, some of these other liberals that are so deep in their hatred of certain people that they can't see the forest through the trees, right?
Yes.
You know, it's like you try to point things out to them. You know.
Oh, you got mentioned Boyd, too. You got mentioned Boyd on Liberal Dan's show on Wednesday, too. He was talking about you.
Mm-hmm. He was?
Yeah.
I've never heard of Liberal Dan. Who the hell is Liberal
Dan? Yeah, he called into a show. Was it you? It might have been you or it was one of you guys that he mentioned. He mentioned you calling into his show. I know for a fact.
To Liberal Dan?
Yes, yes.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I think you called in there. Or maybe the other guy has.
No,
where are you
no.
from? You from Louisiana? Who's from Louisiana?
That was me.
Was you. Okay, that was you then. Okay, it was you.
No, I don't remember calling in a liberal. It might have been the other. We have. It's not Naj. Who's the other guy that's from Louisiana? Black fella.
The one that got banned?
Huh? No.
The one that got banned?
No. It was a conservative.
Yeah, it was a conservative guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm blanking on his name. Lorianne might know. Anyway. Pianchi, I think. I think it's Pianchi.
It was somebody. I know that. I don't know the name off the top of my head. But
I don't remember calling in the Dan show.
Bring it Boy. Bring it Boy then. But that's who it was. Bring it Boy. That's what he said.
He's out of California.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other Robert.
But, I've never. The only liberal show I've ever called into was those weird bitches. that kitchen, whatever.
They're on tonight.
Yeah.
A kitchen talk, in my job, and it goes down the border.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
I mean, look, you can't argue with these people because they're too far deep into their thing. Oh. He said we're poisoning the blood. Trump said they're poisoning the blood of the country by letting these people in at the border,
They
right?
said they're calling the cops on me. They said they're going to call the cops on me.
Well, no. Well, yeah. Well,
what are they
going to
call the
cops?
What were they going to call the cops on you for?
I don't know. I was arguing with them in the chat room, and they said that they felt threatened, so they think that I should call the cops on me because I brought up Jewish bankers, and they felt threatened, so they should call the cops on me.
Oh,
the kitchen politics ladies don't have a chat room.
Hate speech, they said.
No, this was probably before. They probably stopped having a chat room because of Joe.
This was Liberal Dan show, Liberal Dan on YouTube.
Oh,
is that one? He's on YouTube, not BTR?
He's on BTR and YouTube.
Oh. When's the show come on?
Wednesdays at 9 p.m.
Wednesday at 9 p.m. I think I'm on a... who is on Wednesday night? I'm on somebody else's more important show.
Really?
Well, I'm trying to think. I've got one, two...
Somebody on Wednesday nights.
I got one, two, three, about three shows I listen to on Wednesday night.
Really?
One is Hank Jones, Poly Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes Simone Nicole, which is an apolitical site or show where it's good to relax and not talk politics. Mm-hmm. And then what the hell is the other show that comes on after that? I don't know. I can't remember right off the top of my head.
I can't remember.
Somebody comes on Wednesday night that I'll listen to.
If Rod and Rec decides to do a show anytime, you know, whatever. But yeah, there is that. But Joe, it's like, remember the big thing about Trump, and he said the poisoning of the blood of America?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to explain. They were making a big deal. The kitchen politics people were making a big deal about that, and I tried to explain to them what they were saying about it was not what he meant. You know, I'm sitting here trying to tell these people that what he's meant, what he's talking about is these people were basically in certain diseases. Because of medical technology, we basically eliminated certain diseases, right, here in America. Well,
yeah.
These people that are coming across the border, probably because they don't take all their shots, all the shots that we've taken over the years, you know, they don't have those immune. They may have scabies or whatever, you know, that we basically eliminated, right? And it's like, if they have those things, they're going to poison us, right? Because
yeah.
They have those diseases. And that's the thing. And it's been proven to be the point, because in the last time we were having these things, certain diseases that we thought we'd gotten rid of had an uptick because of these people that were coming across the border, you know? So,
yeah.
So, and they didn't want to hear about it. They call that statement a racist statement because, you know, it's coming from Trump. It came from Trump, right?
Yeah. Well, little do they remember out of their history lessons, there was a ton of immigrants that were sent back to fucking Europe because they were ill. They had diseases that weren't allowed in this country. Was that
mm-hmm.
racist?
Yeah, and think about this. What killed a lot of the Central American Indians? Native Americans, when Cortez and all these people came over, it wasn't, the conquistadors did a lot of damage, but a lot of it was done because they weren't inoculated against, they brought over these diseases from Europe. and kill that the Toltecs and the Aztecs and the all those type of Indians, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, they're idiots. These people are idiots.
They are all idiots.
They're not very smart either. They're dumbasses, literally, since their mascot is a donkey. They're dumbasses. Where's Laurie Ann at? Is she still here?
I was just going to ask the same question.
Laurie Ann.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here. Just distracted. Dealing with crap and more crap and more crap after that.
What is it that has distracted you besides crap?
We must
know.
I am gathering information that my bank needs as so that I am requesting a forbearance on my mortgage since I am broke and I'm not able to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to go and get taxed, basically every single thing under the sun, my last tax return, transcript, all kinds of crap, bank statements, all that good junk to see if I can get on a mortgage forbearance.
You haven't been able to prove that you're dumb enough to take a job away from an illegal alien yet?
Nope. Take a job away from an artificial intelligence bot.
Yeah, the problem is if they know you have a college education, they're not going to do anything for you because you're smart enough to get a good job, even though the job you may want may not be available to you right now because of a certain person who lives in the White House Senior Center.
God, we've been on for an hour already. Dang.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time sure flies when you're having
fun.
A little
over an hour.
Where is that?
And Mike's talking about the White House as basically a nursing home at this point.
Yeah. The senior senior living center?
Yes.
Where they got the pens disposal bins all over the place?
Yep. Man, Trump is going to have to go into that place and wipe it, just hose it down, maybe change all the carpeting and because who knows how much, well, I don't want to say crap because that would be being too literal. Because we know about the diapers and all that. Whoever's the next president, well, if it's Biden, it's Biden. And things won't change. But if it's Trump, he's going to have to go and hose that son of a bitch down.
or declare it a reclamation site.
Yes.
You know, an EPA reclamation site.
Hell, what I would do if I was Trump is I would move, for a short period of time, I'd move the White House down to Mar-a-Lago. That would piss them off, but I would move it down to Mar-a-Lago and then clean the White House up and then move right back to it, you know? And reclaim the White House. I mean, the White House is dirty in more ways than one.
That's for sure.
And it's not just the White House. It's a lot of these state houses as well. You know, we know about your governor there in New Mexico. I mean, she's as dirty as the day is long. You know.
Oh, tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. She's so dirty, her own party don't seem to want anything to do with her at times.
It amazes me that there's even one person who wants her around.
And here's the deal. She could very, I understand that there's this mountain in on the border of, on the U.S. side of the border of New Mexico that the cartels have taken over.
Yeah, Mount Crystal Rey.
Mount Crystal Rey. And it's a, I guess it's a religious site, but that has nothing to do with it. If she was a real governor, she'd send the National Guard in there with guns and go root them people out. They're on American land. You know, they're on our land. It's our land. It's our mountain. It's not theirs. You know, go get them off that mountain. I know it would take up. They're probably so rooted in there now, but you know, it would take a lot to do it. But it's got to be done.
Yep. It has to be, and she won't do it.
No.
Hell, they've got video from Fox News of cartels just walking people up that mountain and going up to the other side. It's just like it's a Sunday walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's when target practice needs to be implemented.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just saying. And that's when target practice needs to be implemented. Got to fight fire with fire. How is she going to do it? You know, tell me how you're going to do it unless you fight fire with fire.
Well, she ain't going to do it, but there are people down there who might just do it and end up in jail because of it, but they might try it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that there's, I don't know, there's a church or something at the bottom of that mountain or something that, you know, or something like that. And it's like these people are, there's graffiti all over, there's desecration all over it. And it's like, every time people have tried to clean that thing up. And the moment it gets clean, the graffiti goes right back on it. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yep. It's a 29-foot-tall statue of Jesus, top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, that's why she won't do anything. But there's a statue of Jesus up there. If she does something, take it back, then she becomes a Christian, white Christian supremacy terrorist.
No, she's become a Christian nationalist.
Nationalist. Aye, 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 aye.
Yeah, she's already that, but of course the left don't think so.
She's already a Christian nationalist? Don't sound like it to me.
No, she's a terrorist.
Oh, yeah. But she's the left's terrorist.
Yep. Yeah, it's okay to be a terrorist. It's okay to be a terrorist when you're on the left. Or support terrorists when you're on the left. See, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Yep.
Sheba Tlaib. Sheba. Fucking raghead. There you go with what's wrong with
both
the country.
Both of those two. Not that it would matter, but both of those two women need to be expelled from Congress.
They don't need to be expelled.
Not that it would matter because
they don't need. Look, they don't need to be expelled from Congress. They need to be expelled from the fucking country. Out.
Well, yeah.
Bye bye. Catch you later. Don't let the door hit you on your ass on the way out. Call me, bastard.
Yeah, they're traitors.
Traitors.
And if you're not gonna expel them from the country, fine. They're traitors, and they need to be hung.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? We get a Republican Congress in there this time. You know, the Speaker of the House should and could really fuck things up in the House by reinstituting and taking away all exemptions for head coverings in the House.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that really kind of pisses me off is the fact that the Jewish members of the House of Representatives are not wearing their yarmulkes.
Mm-hmm.
Omar was given an exemption to wear her rag by Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
I'll give her a brand new rag that I just got through cleaning the toilet out with. There you go.
That's right. Hey, and if she wants to wear that rag while we're hanging her, let her.
Mm-hmm.
Letter.
She can wear her rag. She can wear her rag all she wants when she's not on the floor of the House. But when she's on the floor of the House, there are no head coverings allowed.
Nothing.
I'd like to see somebody like Jordan wear a baseball cap coming in,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the floor of the House and saying, well, if she can do it, I can do it. She's got head covering. She's got a head cover.
Remember, now, granted, this is not on the floor. This is during the friggin' the thing, but remember Marjorie Taylor Greene wore a MAGA cap, right? Now, whoever it was that was the
guy that was a Mr. President, Speaker of the House, is a
Sergeant at Arms.
Tried to get her to get to take it off. She said, "You're gonna have to either arrest me or do it yourself." And he backed down, and they backed down, and she was able to wear her hat on the floor during the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm going in there to make a speech, I'd fucking wear my MAGA cap again. Just to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, that's who should be the next Speaker of the House, is Marjorie Taylor Greene. But that's another argument for another day.
Yeah.
I've made my point.
She'd be a good one.
Right. I made my point that there's a couple of guys that have called other shows about Mike Johnson, who live in his district, right? His current district, right? And he said, "Well, Mike Johnson did this, Mike Johnson did that, and he's a good guy." And when I talk about Mike Johnson, he was hired to do a job, and he didn't do it. He was hired to shut the border or shut the government, and he didn't do it. In fact, he did the exact opposite by passing those omnibus bills.
Yeah.
You know? So he's failed at his job. He's in trouble. He's in serious trouble. Don't look at them as congressmen. Look at them as tools. A hammer, a saw, screwdriver. Those things are meant to do something, right? They're meant to hammer a nail. They're meant to screw a screw. They're meant to, pliers are meant to do whatever, And if the hammer is not hammering the nail, if the nail's not going into the board, the hammer's not working, right? So that's the thing. The hammer, he was put in the office to hammer the nail in about, the border, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He failed. And that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene has that motion to vacate in her pocket, because she's going to, I think within the next week or so, she's going to pull that son of a bitch out and do it. And vacate his speakership, because they don't get along. I mean, Johnson did end up going down there to Mar-a-Lago, but I think what he's doing is he's trying to, when he went down there to Mar-a-Lago to meet with Trump, he went down there to try to get Trump to pull Marjorie Taylor Greene off his ass. That's what that visit was for. Complaining about Marjorie Taylor Greene and trying to get her off his ass.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, anything your idiot governor's been doing lately, Robert?
Yeah.
Tell me what not they've been doing that's good for the country. They don't ever do anything good. I mean, they don't. I mean, you know. Santa Claus, they better do good more than these idiots could. Yeah. A zillion times better.
Yeah.
Hell, I think any one of us would do better than any of them.
Yeah.
Okay,
I can't remember who it was, but somebody made a statement years ago that said we would have much better governments if we got rid of everybody in the government and took the first 535 names out of the Boston telephone directory and put them in places.
Yeah. I got a Skype number who raised their hands, and I'm not sure how long they've had their hands raised, but I brought them in. Hello.
Oh, it's been a little while, but I've been listening with great interest. Now, I was listening to the thrust of what you guys were talking about earlier, and, you know, I don't want to hijack the conversation or anything. I mean, is this a directed conversation, or can we just bring something up?
It's not directed. When have we ever had a directed conversation?
Well, once in a while we do, but not often. I will grant you, but I don't. But you never know. You know, you might be, getting out of a rut here tonight. It might be a directed conversation. I don't know. But I did hear something very interesting that Joe said earlier, and I want to ask him a question, but I want him to clarify it, and I thought I understood. Well, there's another subject I want to bring up, too, after I ask him this question, which is completely different, but I think it's quite relevant given the current state of news. But I want to ask him about the statement made about Article 3 courts. He said the only valid courts are Article 3 courts, but if he's talking about Article 3 of the United States Constitution, Article 3 only deals with those courts that are convened under the United States Constitution to deal with federal law and constitutional issues.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, I mean, because it says Article 3 starts off with Section 1, the judicial power of the United States, not the individual state, shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. So state courts are formed completely outside of the jurisdiction of Article 3. They are convened under the authority granted them in Article 10.
Yeah.
I mean, Article 10, but I mean
the
Fifth Amendment.
Constitution.
And the state constitution, yeah, the state constitution is what establishes the state courts. And I got the impression he was saying that those state courts aren't valid because they don't fall under Article 3 authority. That deals with courts for the United States as a whole, not as the individual states.
Okay.
So I guess he's gone, but I just want to ask him about it, and I'd like him to clarify it. I said, that can't be, because otherwise, states are sovereign in everything that the Constitution doesn't forbid them to be sovereign in, and one of them is certainly making up their own court system. But anyway,
yeah.
What I wanted to bring up was, the revisiting of the O.J. Simpson saga. And, you know, given the fact the guy is now deceased, he's gone on to meet his reward or his punishment, however you want to look at it. He was certainly one of the greatest athletes in professional sports history. He had, I mean, and not only did he have this great career as a professional athlete and one of the greatest running backs in history, he was the kind of guy who on the surface seemed to have this appealing, affable personality that everybody was drawn to. And he had a It is impossible to overestimate how huge a celebrity he was at one time during the days of the Hertz commercial. I mean, this guy had appealed to everybody in the country. Everybody practically liked the guy. But of course, there was this hidden side to him that we discovered later. But there's something even more significant than the murder trial itself, no matter how sensational it might have been. And I'm going to tell you what that was. O.J. Simpson's case and the brouhaha that surrounded it was the genesis, together with the relatively recent example or added emphasis of the Rodney King trial. That was the genesis of the modern-day woke mind virus. That's where it really began. The modern iteration of wokeism started with O.J. Simpson and Rodney King collectively. And what I mean by that is a cornerstone of wokeism is to take the historical injustices of the United States, its past, the things it's done wrong, the rights it denied to people, and using these as a rationale to not hold people responsible or accountable or to meet the same standards and qualifications as others. That's where it all started, with O.J. Simpson. That's when the word N-I-G-G-E-R could no longer even be spoken, as it once was before the O.J. trial. Because remember, when F. Lee Bailey had Mark Furman on the stand, and they kept bringing that up, and then all of a sudden, that word became unmentionable. You couldn't have Mark Twain books in there anymore. You couldn't do Huckleberry Finn. Couldn't do Tom Sawyer. You couldn't, To Kill a Mockingbird was like, they talk about banning it and all this other stuff. That was the beginning of it. And I'm going to tell you what put it to its apotheosis, to its ultimate zenith, where it reached its height, was George Floyd. So from O.J. Simpson to George Floyd, that is the arc of the woke mind virus that we call wokeism. And it all started with O.J. Simpson. That is the most significant thing about it, because we're still living under these strictures today. And they're getting worse until somebody comes along, turns it back around.
Okay.
Your juice has expired.
Well, I tell you, I remember, look, I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but I cannot recommend this more highly. Now, I don't have too much regard for ESPN. I don't like them. They're leftist. They're woke as hell. They're liberal to a fault. And, you know, you see everything through a racial lens. But they did a 7-hour documentary called O.J. Made in America. And if you guys have interest in the subject, it is the best single documentary on the subject. It's got all kinds of footage you probably have never seen, all sorts of interviews of people who were significant and some who were not, so just peripherally related to this incident. But you will get insights into it that you never knew before. I was enthralled by this thing. It was really good. It was surprisingly balanced, and it gave me insights into the case that I never had before. Again, it's called O.J. Made in America. It's like 7 episodes. It was broadcast on ESPN. I got it on Blu-ray. And I tell you, it's worth the look if you got the time to watch it. It really is. It's really well done. And there was an interview with 2 of the jurors in that thing. And one of them was a woman named Bess. And the interviewer asked Bess, was this payback for Rodney King or past racial discrimination in the United States? And the woman responded by saying, uh-huh, nodded, and she threw her hands up. And the other juror said much the same thing. So, like I said, this was the beginning of wokeism. It didn't have anything to do with the facts. Facts and objective truth and evidence were entirely, their worth was entirely dependent upon your racial perspective, not on the objective truth of the things before you, or their objective value. It was determined by what was deemed to be your racial outlook.
Mm-hmm.
The racial outlook you were supposed to have as either a black person, a white person, an Asian person, whatever, but you are locked into these perspectives by those who make such rules. And this was the first time we had a public example of where it was widely, this attitude was widely spread. That is the beginning of the woke mind virus right there, the O.J. Simpson trial.
Right. And here's the deal, Sarge. I've talked to, there's a guy out of Florida that said, basically said that the O.J. Simpson lawyers, including Alan Dershowitz, expected him to be, expected to be filing an appeal because they thought he was guilty. They thought he was going to be found guilty, right? They were expecting to be able to go off and follow the appeal, and then when the thing came down the way it came down, surprised them, you know, and all that stuff. So, and here's the deal. Gil Garcetti, who was the DA at the time, he moved that trial from Brentwood to downtown Los Angeles.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So, but he did it. Usually the way these things work, the way these things work is the defense attorneys request the move. They say, we don't think we can get a fair trial. It's like what happened with Trump in Atlanta and other places. He requests and in New York, I don't think I can get a fair trial here in New York City. Let's move this to another court, another district, right? And it didn't happen. But that's how it happens. He preemptively before they, from what I understand, he preemptively before the defense attorneys were able to make the request, he did it preemptively, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, everything about that trial was funky. But I tell you what, you know, and people make a lot of big deal out of the fact that, oh, well, all the evidence against O.J. was circumstantial. It was just circumstantial evidence. Well, I got news for you. There's basically only two types of evidence. I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, but it's basically two types of evidence, circumstantial and direct. Direct evidence is eyewitness testimony, confessions, film, something like that. Of course, you got records, the records exception to hearsay, because records are basically hearsay. But if they're official records or some sort of corroborative document, then they're exceptions to hearsay rule. Okay, so that's another thing about evidence. But people get convicted on circumstantial evidence all the time. The only question is it compelling enough to indicate guilt beyond reasonable doubt? Now, if you exclude all of the evidence that was in controversy, like Mark Furman's testimony, okay, with the allegations of perjury about his screenplay, not that he said that stuff that had to do with any official police conduct, it was a screenplay, and he had put the word in the screenplay. And then when he had been asked, have you ever used the word, well, he said, no, I haven't used it in a manner a lot of people would think you use it as like an epithet or an insult, but he used it in a screenplay. So then he was worried about being caught in the perjury trap. So if you take all that testimony aside, you set that aside, you set aside the blood evidence that had a questionable chain of custody because Van Adder and his team didn't turn it over to the evidence custodian, didn't maintain the chain of custody, right? Exclude all that. What you are left with that stood the test of cross-examination should have been enough to get him convicted. Should have been.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have to exclude the glove, too.
Well, you know what? This is the problem. Here's the problem. You know, O.J. Simpson had massive hands, okay? Now, here's what the defense should have done, and they didn't, because you never ask a question you don't know the answer to. That's a golden rule in prosecution. They should have subpoenaed the court to have O.J. Simpson submit to a plaster cast of his hands, have a plaster staff of his handmaid, and then attempt to see if the gloves would fit him. They were blood soaked. They shrank.
Yeah.
That kind of glove
plus,
that gets soaked with blood, it will shrink. And he had big-ass hands,
plus,
man.
Plus, he had on gloves to try and get his hand in a glove.
It added to the sickness. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the excuse they use is, well, they're contaminated with blood. That is why they should have made a cast of his hands. But everybody agreed it was a cast after getting a subpoena from the court to make it voluntary and voluntary submit to a cast and then try the gloves on over the cast of the hands. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth. Johnny Cochran would have had to have stand up and object to it because he could say that making the cast would be not the same size as his hand.
That's why they would have had to take meticulous measurements of every one of his digits in his hand. They would have had to make meticulous measurements and then use those points of measurement on the plastic cast to see if it was indeed accurate and see whether or not the defense would stipulate it was an accurate cast of his hand.
Yep.
You know, and that's the thing. Think about, here's some, at one point, you know, at one point, I didn't think he did it. Because at one point, you know, I look at the gloves, right? And they said at one point that Nicole had made a habit of giving those type of gloves as Christmas gifts or something to everybody she knew, right? You know, so I mean, I was wrong for thinking that way, but that's the way I thought. But really, if you look at his son, they're about the same size. The hands are about the same size, and you could have said, well, he's doing it. He's taking the bullet for his son, and all that stuff. But that's a whole other argument at some point. And look, you're right. Chain of custody was a big problem, and the whole thing, you know. Oh, they planted evidence, the bloody sock. But here's the deal: I didn't know this until just recently that his daughter took the bloody clothes and tried to wash them, covering the evidence.
Well, not only that. Again, like I said, if you got evidence that's impeached by cross examination. And it's impeached. Okay, you exclude it. You take it out as though it didn't exist. All right? Unless, of course, you got some prosecutorial malfeasance involved, then you definitely want to make a big issue out of that. But if it's just question of whether or not it's valid for the purpose of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, you simply exclude it. You say, I cannot consider this evidence in my deliberations. Okay, got it. What's left? What was left over should have been enough that stood the test of cross-examination. Like, you know, saying it was planted. They didn't have any proof that they planted any of that stuff. Claim that it was. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, it was collected. Other than that, the blood in the sock, the blood in the Bronco, the disguises, the passport, the cash, the guilty behavior by fleeing, the shaky alibi, the cut on his hand, all sorts of things on and on and on is evidence, is actions that were consistent with guilt. All of that should have been enough to convict him. But remember, the jurors were determined to nullify the accusation. That was jury nullification by people who had been imbued with the intersectional narrative of racism against black men in the United States by police authorities, and the judicial system. That's all it was. It didn't have anything to do with the law or the facts or anything else. That was the beginning of wokeism as a modern concept.
And Sarge, That goes. That also goes back to what Garcetti did. If Garcetti had left it in the Brentwood District the way it should have been left in the Brentwood District, you know, there's a possibility that he gets convicted.
Well, at the very least, a hung jury.
Yeah. Right. If he had done the right thing and left it in that district, but he didn't. He went and changed the district to get a favorable, because he didn't want a riot. He didn't want another riot. He was afraid of a riot. You know.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And so speaking of somebody that is also in trouble, Big Fanny is in federal trouble now because of the money she spent on her boy toy.
Well, I hope that one really goes good, too, against her.
Oh, well, that's beautiful. I can't wait till she gets her comeuppance. God, I can't stand that woman. Truly, I can't stand that woman.
What I'm hoping is not only does she get her comeuppance, but this lawyer, this white lawyer that's one of Trump's lawyers that's running for that office, this office in the DA for that DA. I hope she wins that office to where she wins. She tries to drop the case, or she drops the case. Boom, it's over with. But then again, you want to drop the case. The DA might want to drop the case. Doesn't mean the judge, who's a Fannie Willis acolyte, is going to drop the case. Now, if he didn't drop the case and they request to drop the case, you know, and he didn't, that would show who he really is, right? This judge. So
yeah.
So that's the thing. And really, you know, really, I want the case to go forward because all the evidence about the stolen election in Georgia would be put into that case, or should be put into that case.
Well, yeah.
What Fannie Willis is trying to do here is prove a negative. She's trying to prove that Trump did not think that the election was stolen.
Right. That's crucial. Because if he can prove, or at least demonstrate, that he had ample objective evidence to believe the election was stolen, then you can't, that theory that he didn't believe what he was doing, he was perpetuating a fraud, cannot stand up to scrutiny.
That's right.
Yep.
It goes back to proving a negative. When you have one of these domestic violence cases and people, you know, are accused of beating their husband or their wife, right? One of the questions that you don't want to hear asking that in these cases is, do you still beat your wife?
Yeah.
Or husband?
Well, when did you stop beating your wife?
There is no good answer for that question.
Right. But, you know, but that's just it, though, because, see, the whole phone call, if you read, I've read that transcript of that phone call about five times. The whole phone call is riddled with examples of what he believed were election irregularities and fraud, that he wanted Raffensperger and the election authorities in Georgia to investigate. And many of them have proven to be valid. There was lack of signature verification. There was lack of chain of custody of the ballots. They did all kinds of things that were violations of Georgia election, county and state election law. All kinds of things. So the whole phone call was full of his reasons as to why he thought the election was stolen. I mean, it's like Fannie Willis was just determined to ignore all that and say, you're a threat to democracy. You're supposed to accept the election results no matter what, no matter how funky they appear to be. You ain't supposed to say nothing about it.
Right. And that's the thing. This woman who says, oh, the train is still on the track and it's coming for you. First off, she should not be talking about trains.
Damn right. Giving her history. You're damn right.
But yeah, the train is coming for her, I think.
Yep.
And it should be coming for her. You know, this woman used money that was supposed, a federal money that was studied to go and prosecute killings, murders, she switched it to come and prosecute Trump. That's what she did. And that's illegal. That's an illegal act.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. She committed so many ethical violations. It's not even arguable that she did all of those things. When it comes to her lying on the record about she paid Nathan Wade the same as the other attorneys, I mean that's a simple matter of fact that's corroborated by the salaries they're paid that are officially on a record for Fulton County. And she thought she could get away with it? I mean, this woman is so dense, it's hard to believe she passed law school. She couldn't have. Somebody either took the test for her, she paid somebody off. You can't be that dense.
She had to do something with all that cash she had.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yes, he did. And he couldn't answer if he went to a cabin.
Yeah, it took a whole minute, about 45 seconds, for him looking up at the ceiling, trying to figure out what to say.
There's a meme that Benny Johnson plays on his show all the time of him looking up at the cabin, getting asked a question, looking up at the cabin, and there's a thought balloon that pops up, and it's him thinking about Fannie Willis and different things.
Yeah. So you're telling the sexual healing.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the type of case that people like, that people are interested in. You know, because of how corrupt this woman is, you know, and what she did. It's got everything. It's got corruption. It's got sex. It's got everything. You know. So yeah, this woman better.
For the plot, it's got a wrongfully accused man. Or men or people.
Yep. And when she said the train is a coming, that was a poor, poor choice of words.
Well, it's obvious this woman is tone deaf. That's obvious as can be. She's so thoroughly corrupt, she literally believes everybody in the world shares her opinion about things. She's that self-absorbed. She thinks she can do no wrong. I mean, she's an utter narcissist. Complete, total, and a nincompoop. It's bad to be a narcissist and a nincompoop. If you're going to be a narcissist, it behooves you to be kind of smart and savvy and able to read the crowd. But she can't do that. I mean, she's just arrogant, hubristic, caught up in her own self-worth. I mean, she's the real case study. She's imperious and foolish. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like this woman as an attorney, as a state attorney. She's worse than Kim Fox or Marilyn Mosley.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's the deal. I think it was by design that she wore her dress backwards and the upside-down lapel pin.
Oh, yeah, threat democracy. See, she just said she got her flag upside down because she's prosecuting the threat to democracy that's Donald Trump. She's a martyr, don't you get it? She's a martyr for righteousness. That's why she went to church up there acting like she's Jesus Christ on the cross.
And what she does,
she's a real case study, man. Yeah, somebody ought to do forensic study, case study on her psychiatrically.
Yeah.
What she doesn't get is that, and we saw it happen again. When Trump showed up at that Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, in an inner city Atlanta, and he was being hugged and loved on by all the people in the Chick-fil-A, and most of the people, the majority of people in that Chick-fil-A were, African-American, blacks.
And when was the last time you saw all these appearances in public that Donald Trump was making? Think about it. When was the last time you saw him getting booed? I can't think of one.
Not one.
Every time Joe Biden shows up somewhere, he's getting heckled and booed.
Yep. Yes, sir. I mean, think about it. What happened after he got his world famous shot taken at that Fulton County jail? He's driving away to go back to the airport, right? And he's passing by through Atlanta to go back to the Atlanta Airport to get on Air Force One, Trump Force One to go back, and they're going, Trump, go, basically, fuck Fannie Willis.
Fannie.
The words, because that's what got her in trouble in the first place, but, these are people that are just Atlanta citizens who've been dealing with Fannie Willis for the past, 2 to 4 years, and who know her, They might or might not have voted for her. I don't know. Probably did. Know her.
Hey, did y'all hear those epic songs that came out in the wake of Donald Trump's arraignment in Fulton County? About his mugshot and Fannie Willis being a vote rigger. Did you hear those songs? They were epic.
I think I have heard that.
From the dump.
Lori Ann just brought up the fact we've got 8 minutes left in the live part of the show. So if there's anybody out there who is not on the phone and wants to join in, call in, and you can continue with the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, Robert, if I have your permission.
Well, that'd be 5 minutes now.
Okay. Well, Robert, if I have your permission, I'd like to play those songs for y'all to hear. I think you'd be very amused to hear them. They are really pretty good.
Jump.
Absolutely.
If I got your permission to put them on, I'll let you guys hear them, because I swear to God, man, they are funny, and they are pretty well done. And, I've never seen this kind of response to any public figure with all these indictments against him, and they don't seem to be sticking. Even people who want Trump to be stopped understand what's being done here. And that nobody's really impressed by this, other than the pundits on CNN and MSNBC. They profess to be terribly impressed by all of this. How can the American people vote for a felon with all this hanging over his head?
Yeah,
you know, the American people don't give a damn.
And by the way, Sarge, you can throw it MSNBC, including the Trump wig wearing
Joy
Reid.
Yeah. Consider her too. Consider her too. Oh man, I'll tell you, this is an epic campaign from a man, from one of the most unique personalities in American politics. There probably will never be another Donald John Trump. This guy is just—I haven't ever seen anything like him. I got to admit, he confounds me. I'm looking at the way this stuff is shaking down for him, and I'm just confounded because I've never seen anything like this in major national politics before.
I'm profounded,
honestly.
And Sarge, I have a talk about this guy incessantly, but this guy out of Florida that says this about Trump. He says that Trump is a civil rights leader.
Oh, well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Trump's our hero.
I'm telling you, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. He's unflappable. He doesn't even seem to be bothered by this. Overly much. I mean, I'm sure he'd rather not deal with it, but he's almost like he's reveling in it.
I think he is.
You gotta look at it
this way, Sarge. Trump has been getting an enormous amount of free publicity. And free publicity is worth every dime, no matter what it says. His name is out there. And they keep putting his name out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he won the 2016 election, was all the free publicity all the news reporters were giving him. You didn't see many Trump ads on TV.
Nope.
He didn't have to.
No, indeed. Didn't have to,
no.
Man. He had his own thing going up there.
Mm-hmm.
He was very popular.
What they hate.
That show The Apprentice was number one.
Right now, Sarge, is that when he came out with, Leticia James thought she had him, right? She thought she had him. She was able to get his money and all that stuff. And, yeah, they're going after the guy who put up the bond, to help put up the bond, right, for Trump, the $170 million. $75 million, but what pisses people like them off is that he comes out and goes public with his internet, with his social media company, and it's worth $4 billion, $6 billion.
Wow.
Billion with a B.
Damn.
You know?
No, I think I'll buy it.
Yeah, and, you know, who was it? Nunes was making a comment about the shareholders in Trump Social. He says, you know, all those people who invested money into this stuff and was only worth $12 a share at the time, and they hung out and hung with him. And he says, they just got rewarded too. So their stock went from $12 to, what was it, the last I heard, and that was a while ago, was 72 bucks a share.
$92 a share, yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Sign me up.
Yep. Sign me up, too.
Too social, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Robert, you still there, Robert?
The most social media app there is out there.
I was wondering if I could play that Trump about his mugshot, because I think it's kind of funny.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Here you go. Here it comes.
Yeah, anyway, just my mugshot. It's a big, beautiful mugshot. Look at it. I call it the Mona Lisa mugshot. It's incredible. Look at that. It's like
can't hear it. Sorry.
Can't hear it. Perfect mugshot. So perfect. It's so beautiful.
Sarge,
you can't hear it?
No.
That's odd.
Is that a YouTube link or something that you got up, Sarge?
No, it's not at all on YouTube. It's an MP3.
Oh.
That's why.
Okay.
Because it's loud here. You can't hear it all. It's certainly louder than my voice.
Can't hear it, Sarge.
You can't hear it now?
No.
Put your microphone up to it, Sarge.
Okay.
Put your microphone up to the speaker.
Well, let me try it again. Hold on a minute.
Well, they took my mugshot. It's a big, beautiful mugshot. Look at it. I call it the Mona Lisa of mugshots. It's incredible. Look at that. It's like my photos. It's a perfect mugshot. So perfect and so beautiful. You know, many people
yes,
say
turn your speaker on. Put it up next to the speaker.
I only have one side. It's called my great side. They got my great side with this mugshot. It's a beautiful picture of a very handsome guy with wonderful hair. Such a beautiful mugshot that Hunter Biden, they want to take a picture of it and sell it for a lot of money to Russia, or China, or even Ukraine. You know about it. Such a perfect, beautiful, highly respected mugshot. The greatest mugshot in the history of the world, believe me.
Sorry, it's ghosting. We can't hear it.
Big, beautiful mugshot.
Did you hear it?
You can barely hear it, Sarge.
Ah, that's kind of
hey,
odd.
Just put your freaking headset up to the speaker and turn it up loud.
All right, let me try this then. Okay, hold on a minute. Because I think it's funny as hell.
You would hear it.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's
try.
I
always hear you.
One more guess, see if you can hear it on this one then. Because I don't know why you couldn't hear it the first time. Here we go again.
No problem, God.
Don't hear it.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Sarge.
Yes.
Why don't you try and send that file to either Robert or Lori and see if they can do it through their mixers.
I think I know why it isn't working. Hold on a minute. Let's try it like this. Here we go. I'll try to. I think you'll be able to hear it this time. I think if this doesn't work, then I guess you can't hear it. I don't know why, but try this way. Hold on.
I think I can.
Well, they took my mugshot. It's a beautiful mugshot. Look at it. I call it the Mona Lisa of mugshots. It's incredible. Look at that. It's like my photos. It's a perfect mugshot. So perfect and so beautiful. You know, many people say that they have a good side and a bad side. I only have one side. It's called my great side. They got my great side with this mugshot. It's a beautiful picture of a very handsome guy with wonderful hair. Such a beautiful mugshot that Hunter Biden, they want to take a picture of it and sell it for a lot of money to Russia, or China, or even Ukraine. You know about it. Such a perfect, beautiful, highly respected mugshot. The greatest mugshot in the history of the world, believe me. Great.
Well, I think, did you hear that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that was pretty good. But this one is even better than that. Check this one out now. This one also came out in the wake of the mugshot. Here we go. Check this out.
Call a fatty villain. Georgia member rapper, because she knows she has to get it.
you had your insecure attention to you for the money, that you went around looking like Castle with the money, that you got a movie, got white soul with the money, and the money. But you ain't no fuck, all the way around three trucks, we want three trucks, yeah. Something that you need to have, is when we get your things, we're gonna fix some ass. 13 counts, 13 counts, got me for every count, put it to type it down. Now I ain't saying she a low breaker, I don't know if I need bigger. No, I ain't saying she a boat breaker, but that ain't gonna make my money bigger. Sit down, girl, that egg it down. Sit down, girl, that egg it down. Sit down, girl, that egg it down. Sit down, girl, that egg it down.
He's going to get his fair share of the black male vote that nobody ever thought he would get. I think he's going to get, I mean, I just saw a news segment on it today. And they were saying this at the National Action Network, Al Sharpton's National Action Network, that Trump is beginning to appeal to the black male vote. If that's true, they are in trouble, and I mean big trouble.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I hope so.
From your lips to God's ears, for sure.
I'd like to see them all come back to the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's where we started out. I mean, because, you know, the Democrats didn't want to do anything but enslave us and then keep us in Jim Crow.
Yep.
It's amazing how they're able to flip the script the way they did. But it was the most thorough con job in American political history.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, and by the way, there's more information has come out, too. There's National Guard whistleblowers that say they're going to testify that they're ready to be deployed on January 6th, but the Pentagon delayed the orders. And they are national members of the National Guard. Three of them were going to testify to this, officers in the Guard. And like I said, they didn't want to take any action against anybody who did it. Just so the public knows that it happened will be good enough, at least for purposes of the election.
Yeah. Well, somebody then in the DOD needs to go to jail.
Yep. Pelosi and Bowser were warned about the security situation. Both of them turned down the National Guard for political reasons. And Chris Wray of the FBI refused to notify the Trump administration and his cabinet secretaries that they believed there could be violence that took place that day. The Capitol Police Chief, Steve Sun, said he asked the House and Senate security officials for permission to request that the D.C. National Guard be placed on standby in case he needed backup, but they were both turned down. And all this was hidden by the January 6th committee. All of it. Deliberately hidden.
Well, of course.
That's why no matter what, we have got to keep the speaker's gavel out of the hands of Hakeem Jeffries. He will do everything he can to keep it from happening. Right now, it's simply a matter of getting the truth out to the American people.
Hakeem Jeffries to do everything to stonewall this and put a brick wall between it and the public finding out. So no matter what, Hakeem Jeffries cannot be allowed to become Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
The fix will definitely be in.
Well, you know, you can't have the government, posing an insurrection on itself, you know?
Well, it was, obviously, we know it was an insurrection. We know what it was. What it was,
yeah,
was an attempt to forestall the objection to the electoral count. That's the primary reason for that that situation that came about. They did not want the electoral count to be objected to. That was the main reason for the whole damn thing. And the truth is going to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to ask yourself, when was the last time there ever was an insurrection to overthrow a government where none of the participants, first off, were armed, and secondly, none of them went to take over and secure radio and TV stations at the same time?
Well, they would argue that it was simply an inept insurrection.
Yeah.
But they say, nonetheless, the people who planned it, of course, by their lights, it was intended to succeed.
Yes. Well, you know, still in all, when was the last time you ever heard of such an inept attempt to overthrow a government?
I never heard of one that
bad. I
never have. And most of the insurrectionists are just aimlessly milling around like sheep in the hallway and taking selfies. All the insurrectionists, apparently, they didn't get their orders about to violently seize control of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, when was the last time you ever saw insurrectionists staying inside the velvet ropes inside a building?
Yeah, following the instructions, the guidance, the traffic signals of the Capitol Police.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Only people who believe that are them rats on the January 6th committee. Well, at least they pretend like they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they believe it.
They were let in and everything else, but there was the insurrection. So that was just one of the stupidest things I had ever heard. And they're sticking with that.
No, they're sticking with it. They've got to now. They're past the point of no return. They've got nothing else but to ride this thing out. They can't backtrack on it now. They're sticking everything on this roll of the dice.
Yeah.
And I can't confirm this, but I said that the other day. Maybe somebody can confirm this. That I had heard on another BTR program that I listen to, that the 270 or 280 people that were arrested for the border crossing riot there in El Paso the other day, that the judge released. Remember that?
I heard
the other day that they are all still in custody. that they are not out on the street and that they are in custody and that Texas has put ICE retainers on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are sitting there waiting for deportation.
Yeah. Well, they need to be deported, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And every one of them coming through New Mexico need to be deported too, but yeah.
All of them need to go. All of them.
Well, speaking of all of them need to go, you were talking earlier about Rashida Tlaib, and she's asked about whether or not, you know, when the pro-Hamas demonstrators in her district were chanting "Death to America," Fox News asked her if she would condemn the statement "Death to America," and she said she didn't have any comment. No comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we got governing us.
Ouch.
When does Chicago happen now? The convention?
Oh, the convention? Oh, shit. Is it August or July?
I think it's somewhere in August, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is.
And the state of Ohio has sent the DNC a letter saying that, you know, unless they have their convention earlier and present Ohio with the nomination, there's a good chance that Biden will not be on the Ohio state ballot for president.
That would be awesome.
Because he missed the deadline.
Well, I bet. Okay, the date for the national convention, Democratic National Convention, is August 19th through August 22nd. So that's late August.
Yeah. Yeah, and what I said was per the law of the state of Ohio, you know, as far as when they need all the candidates and stuff so they can start doing all of their, you know, ballot printing and whatnot, you know, for the ballot.
And, gee, just think, it wouldn't have anything to do with the 14th Amendment either. Gee, wow. Oh, man, it's too rich. This is just too rich. There's got to be, this. Talk about poetic justice.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And they don't even see it coming. That's the whole thing that's really funny about this whole thing. They don't even see it coming.
Well, it fits along with the rest of the ineptitude of this administration. It all fits. Not only the tyrannical, incompetent, controlling, lunatic, anti-American, despotic, authoritarian, and yet whatever else you want to put in there, they're incompetent. Their incompetence is staggering. The only thing they have a competence for is for Machiavellian tricks to try to steal things. That's the only talent.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that amazes me, okay, is that, you know, the Democrat Party, you know, in every fucking state, you would think would be looking at the state's election laws and stuff like that and knowing them by heart and have told the national committee that you have to move the convention up a couple days, you know, or a month, because if not, there's a chance we're not going to get on the ballot, no matter who the candidate is that they select at their convention. By law.
It's amazing, ain't it? It's amazing that, you know, like, you think that they've had a little experience in a few presidential elections, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, since 1820, they've been participating in presidential elections. They would have picked up a thing or two by now. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Let them keep going the way they're going.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I would love, you know, to no end to hear them start to whine and cry because they couldn't be on the Ohio State ballot. But I'm not looking forward to having to listen to it, you know, all the way through to November.
Yeah, not either.
But I'd love to watch them cry that way.
Yeah, they definitely will too.
Well, they certainly have a lot invested in this election. We have a lot invested in it too, but because we see the destruction of the Constitutional Republic, that's why we're so alarmed about it. They see it simply their hold on power. They hold on power, so when power is everything to them, nothing is more important than the maintenance of power, as far as they're concerned.
Yeah. Well, I still haven't heard from Blog Talk Radio about too much about anything that happened last week. The only thing that they told me was that the problem has been fixed. And I told them that it didn't matter if it was fixed. It didn't work when I tried to do my show. And I tried four times that night, too. So I'm still waiting to hear from them on that one. Lorianne, did you hear anything about that?
Nope. Not, you know, they sent me the same message, hey, yeah, we got it resolved. And then I was like, you lie. you lie. And then they got back to me. Let me take a look. You know, we apologize for the inconvenience of the book a few days later or something. The usual spiel, but nothing in detail, I think. Let me look at the latest messages from Moses. Apologies for the inconvenience caused. This was on April 9th. We checked with our engineers and everything was working as expected from last week. Should you have any challenges, please let us know. Okay, right. And it was April 6th. It was Saturday the 6th that things were working again, but it was Friday that Robert and I both couldn't get the show started. So.
Well, you know.
Yeah, and they said. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you should write to them, you know, with any problems that you have. Like they requested, you know, and sit back and say, yes, I am having a very serious problem trying to figure out what the cause of last week's outage was.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. I can't figure it out, and I don't know how to correct that problem.
That'd be a good thing to do, but then they'd probably just come back with the same spiel again.
Yeah, and then you write back to them and say, well, that doesn't solve my problem of understanding what happened.
Yeah, and what's been happening? Like, why has there been consistently issues? You can't go more than a month and a half, no more than 2 months, without having problems, you know? those are some of the questions that a lot of us are wondering, like, not just this last time what caused it, but what's been causing all these problems so consistently over the since what, last August was when that one major outage happened, and it was down for over a week, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
and ever since then, like, that's what I want to know. Like, what the fuck is going on with you people? You know,
that's
your services running.
That's when you sit back and say, you know, in one of your letters of trying to understand the problem of what is going on and why the crashes are occurring, you write in there, what is it? Are you not paying your fucking bill to the internet provider?
That would be a good one.
Or to Skype, or I don't know how they broadcast, you know, over the internet, you know, but they have to have an internet provider to give them the link, you know, of whatever it is that they're doing, you know. And if I was that provider and I wasn't getting paid, shut it down, you know, until we get paid.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny part about this whole thing is that I've been on Blog Talk Radio doing stuff since before we had to pay to go over half an hour.
Yeah.
And I've never had problems with Blog Talk Radio. I've never had them say, I've never had a problem logging in. I've never had a problem doing my show until just recently.
Yeah. Then you turn back and you ask a question. Does this have to do anything with the purchase of the parent company's debt? You know, and just start laying out a whole bunch of shit like that, and force them into giving you an answer.
Yeah.
You know, and accuse them of being a piss poor run outfit. And not by not on technical means, but on business means, because if they're not paying their debt, and the provider is shutting them down, then we all need to know it so we can all go someplace else where there's somebody responsible running the fucking business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you can always sit back and say, well, it appears to me, since it's happening on a regular basis, and we almost set our watches by it, you know, by the outages, that it seems to me that Blog Talk Radio is not paying their bills as needed, you know, to your internet provider, you know, and just start laying all that shit out on them and just let them know, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not that fucking stupid. We know when internet providers shut things down. You know.
Yeah. That's for sure.
And just, you know, be ready to follow Ron Reck over to Mixler. I mean,
yeah, I used to be on Mixler a long time ago because I used to do my daily updates on Mixler, and then I changed it to doing them on my phone, and then putting them onto Rumble. But before that, I did them on Mixler, and they were just audio things.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I remember correctly, what Ron had been saying is that, you know, he pays Mixler less money than what you guys get. And, you know, when he starts a show, he's got 11 and a half hours to go before it, before it ends the show.
Yeah.
Well,
I know that, you know, when Ron wasn't on BTR and he put on a couple shows while BTR was down. I mean, we were on the phone for hours.
Hours, I don't remember.
And there were not any bonus hours or no man's land or anything. You know, it just went on and on and on. Of course, you know, people putting on the show would have to probably invest in a mixer. That'd be a one-time charge. And then if you wanted to have call-ins, you'd have to get a Skype account so you have a number to call into. And
you have to pay for a dedicated number from Skype. Yeah.
Well, I think somehow I don't know how it happened, but I now have a dedicated Skype line that puts my personal phone number on it. When I call into you guys, I'm calling in off of Skype.
Me too.
You guys see me come in with my phone number, my home phone number.
Yep. I got the same thing. It does the same thing to me. I got this. I think it's $2.99 a month. Unlimited Skype out. It's called Skype out.
Yeah.
But the question
to do something like on the show to have a lot, you know, you might have to pay a little more. But, you know, to sit back and think about what you're paying BTR for and what they are providing you, I think the overall overall cost will be down and the service will be up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, the question is, who owns BTR? I don't mean customer service. Who owns it? Who's a big boss? You got to go to them.
Yeah.
Raise hell with them. Raise hell with the CEO, whoever owns it, finds out who owns it. I mean, Google search. I'm sure they it's public record. So they're a public corporation. So they'll be able to find out who
iHeart
is. Whoever
the parent company of iHeart is, I forget it. I'd have to look it back up again, but...
I think I would start at the iHeart level.
Yeah.
You know.
You'd think that, you know, with iHeart they'd be able to get this thing fixed up pretty fast if they started losing people.
Mm-hmm. But then it'd be interesting to see. Let's see, iHeartRadio also owns Spreaker, doesn't it?
Yeah. Spreaker is a sister company of BTR.
They don't care.
Both of their parent companies are iHeart.
Doesn't matter what you say to them. They don't care.
They only care about the money coming in, so if the money stops, they're going to care.
But the money's not going to stop. That's the thing.
That's the thing.
You know, even 10 people wouldn't even put a dent in their pocket.
You know, I do know one thing, Boyd. I do know that RZ switched from
BTR to Spreaker.
Spreaker, yes.
Yeah.
At one point, Suzette was there too.
Well, Suzette is still there on Spreaker, and she's on RZ's network.
Yep.
I just
had a second Skype number. Raise your hands. I brought them in. Whoever
it is, John Doe. John Doe.
RZ has ideas are bulletproof on Spreaker.
Yep. Yeah.
See,
but I wanted to comment about. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, he used to be. He used to be on. He used to be on there with Loki and the rest of them on House of Valhalla. You know.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Holger was on there and yeah, quite a few others.
Yeah.
Loki, and there was Douglas V. Gibbs was there.
Yeah, Spindus was one of the shows that was there. But yeah, yeah. But yeah. What you were going to say, John Doe?
Trying to get in earlier whenever you guys were talking about the insurrection and Sarge was referring to it. We seem to forget there was an insurrection. It was from all of the people that already are in Congress. It's interloping insurrection. They've overthrown the government
exactly.
A long time ago. The people that they threw in the gulags in Washington, D.C. were the freedom fighters standing up to try to dissent against the overthrow of our government. And the people who've overthrown our government are the insurrection, you know, insurrectionists. They're just blaming it on the other people. But they've done it themselves.
Well,
that's standard
Democratic policy. Remember, everything that's going wrong in the Biden administration is Trump's fault. Remember that.
But boy, the Republicans are allowing it. So the deep staters and the Republican establishment are part of that cabal.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not denying that.
Oh, see what happened with fucking, I'm going to allow myself to be, Pence. I'm going to allow myself to be taken out of doing the job I should have done in the first place in terms of sending the votes back to the House of Representatives. I'm going to allow myself.
You mean back to the states for certification from their state secretary?
Yep. And then, what about that guy? What about the Democratic congressman that pushed in the handle of that fire alarm, fire door, to stop the vote? It was to stop the vote on something or other, and that's an insurrection.
Yeah. That was Jamal Bowman.
Jamal Bowman, that's him. He should have been put down. Well, he should have been arrested for causing an insurrection because that's interrupting the normal business of the House of Representatives, the normal business of government.
I thought you'd get put in jail for make a false alarm. Don't they put you in jail for that? I think it is.
That idiot wanted us to believe. Oh, I didn't know I was pushing a fire alarm.
Bullshit.
Oh, he knew.
He looked.
He was
for
a
it.
Former school principal, for God's sake. You know about fire drills and fire alarms, please.
No kidding, yeah.
As Gunslinger would say, nigga, please. Right, Gunslinger?
Well, right there on that one.
That is, you know, this guy's an assistant principal or whatever. He knows that's his job. That was his job to run fire alarms, run fire drills, you know. That was his job. And he didn't know that, one, he didn't need to push the door. There's a damn fire alarm right there on the door, right there on the wall. All right.
Well, you know, my big question is, his last name may be Bowman, but his first name sure brings in a lot of questions. Jamal.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But you see, the Civil War was not what everybody thought it was. The Civil War was the original insurrection, democratic insurrection. It was an insurrection.
Well, you know, but you know, the speaking back to the fire alarm thing, don't you have to break a little bit of glass and pull that handle? And he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Ones I've always seen, you have to break the little glass and pull the handle down, which sets off the main alarm. So he knows. He knows. Ooh, what did that little red button do? What's that one? Yeah, right. Give me a break.
Oh, and he goes, he the other lie that he told is, oh, I was trying to get out. So if you were trying to get out, then why didn't you go out of the door that you just opened?
Yeah. Again, as the old saying goes, which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm free to go where I want. I'm free. I can go.
We got backup, too. Don't forget that fucking backup now.
Backups.
God.
The real
thing about it is you know, he claimed he was trying to get to the floor of the House quickly for the vote. But the door he was taking was the farthest one away from the getting to the House,
yeah.
You know, to the floor of the House. Plus, his one vote would not have made much of a difference anyway. The only way he could make a difference in the vote was to pull a fire alarm.
Yep.
At least delay it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like the old saying goes again, or the old cartoon saying, you know, Bugs Bunny. You know, he's washed up dog, but I think we made the wrong target, Albuquerque. I think he did too.
Yeah, and I watched him go through.
Yeah. These people are just like children. This is crazy. You know, you got to treat these people like they're stepchildren. I mean, there is no other way. You can't talk to them like an intelligent adult because there ain't none in them. You know, how can you even talk to somebody that's intelligent that's got the IQ of a damn flea? You ever try to talk to a flea? You know, yeah, you'll get too much conversation out of one of them, okay?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
The flea will bite you, though.
It will bite you. Bite that dog on the ass, you know. But
yeah.
That's about all. You know? Man, these people, blows my mind, man. Beat me up, Scotty. There ain't no intelligent life down here.
Yeah. Getting more and more like that all the time.
Yeah, more every day. Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
it is highly illogical, Captain Kirk. You know,
I mean,
Fox.
Think about this. I compare what they're doing with Trump. They are Wile E. Coyote, and Trump's the Roadrunner.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The Roadrunner. Until the end of the series, until they decide to cut off loose at one point, the Roadrunner always got away. It didn't matter how. It didn't matter if he ran off a cliff and onto another cliff. or if a coyote went over to Acme and got a fucking anvil or whatever it was, none of that stuff ever worked against the Roadrunner. Just like none of this stuff is working against Trump. In fact, it works in the exact opposite way.
Well, you remember you remember the episode of, you know, there are probably a bunch of them, but when Willie E. Coyote comes out there and hands his business card and says, super genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super, yeah.
At one point, they decided to match him up at Bugs Bunny. And at the end of the cartoon, at the beginning of the cartoon, he said, I am Wile E. Coyote. He puts up a door, and Bugs Bunny's in his hole, and, you know, and he says, hi, I'm Wile E. Coyote, super genius. And then at the next cartoon, he comes up, puts up the same door, and he says, hello, my name is Mud.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Well,
that's what these people are. They are Wile E. Coyote. Now, the last cartoon with Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner was they were running through a pipe and it shrunk them and then they ran backwards through the pipe. It made the Roadrunner go back to normal, but what's his name, Wile E. Coyote, stayed small, right? So he grabs on to the Roadrunner, but the Roadrunner is this huge thing, and he looks up at the camera and he says, now what you want me to do?
Yeah, now what? He held up a sign. You know how you're always holding the sign up and saying, now what? I call
now
him.
What?
Now what?
Now what? And that's the thing they like the dog chasing a car, you know.
Yeah.
They don't know when the dog catches the car. You don't know what to do with it, you know. They'll try and put the Trump in jail, but I still maintain this. Trump may say he wants to go to jail, but I still maintain this. I still maintain that it's a security issue, and there is no way that the Secret Service is going to allow Trump to see the inside of a jail cell,
yeah.
Any type of jail cell.
I wouldn't think so. You can't put no president or even ex-president in jail.
That means all these freaking gag orders have no teeth to them.
They never did have any authority.
But if you put a gag order on somebody and they keep talking, then the logical thing to do is for the judge to say, okay, Mr. Gunslinger, I'm going to stick with the cell over here. And they would do it, right? Gunslinger goes into the courtroom and starts talking trash about the judge and saying stuff that the judge don't want him to say. Or stuff that maybe doesn't have anything to do with the case. He'll say, gag order. And Gunslinger keeps saying stuff. He says, well, I'm going to put you in the cell over here.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the gag order. We've all been in court before. I've been in there a couple of times. And you try to speak the truth, and they don't want to hear the truth. Shut up, or I'll give you 30 days for contempt of court. That kind of bullshit. Okay, because it's bullshit. I thought this was a court to get the facts out. See, they don't want to hear the facts. They don't want to hear it. Sorry, bastards. That's why the fucking court system is so fucked up today. You know, they want to think the way they want to think and screw you. And most of the time, guess what? You wind up getting screwed. Okay? I mean,
yep.
Shoot.
Right.
Well, you know, here's one thing. I cannot attribute this quote because I can't remember who said it. But the quote goes like this. When you see your enemy screwing up, do not under any condition intervene.
Well, there you go.
Just let them keep screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're watching right now.
But the only problem with that is as they screw up, which is hilarious, there's no doubt about that, they are costing you money because of their screw-ups. Okay? You know, it's hilarious to watch, but if you get in there and say a traffic court, for example, you can laugh at them all day long, but they're going to screw you with a fine and court costs and all this shit. Oh, you didn't have a valid driver's license when the fucking Constitution says you ain't got to have no valid driver's license. Hey, no such thing as a valid driver's license. Okay? But they have another way to make money, another way to, revenueing. So that's all that crap is. You know, I like to say a zillion times, if I come up to you and say, I want your driver's license card, and you give it to me, does that automatically keep you, and you just forget how to drive a vehicle? I don't think so. Okay. I've been driving vehicles since I was, 11 years old, 10 years old, tractors and all kinds of shit. And I'm gonna forget automatically, as soon as that expiration date comes up, the very freaking second, I'm going to forget how to drive that fucking car out there. Come on. That's how stupid these people think we are. That is exactly how stupid they think that we are. And we just go along with it. Oh, yes, Mr. Police Officer. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to drive. Oh, and well, by the way, let me see your fucking proof of insurance and registration. Oh, you didn't have a seatbelt on. Another fucking fine. See? Money, honey. Money. I had a friend of mine, my pilot friend of mine, he was going somewhere, and they had a cop had somebody stopped on the side of the road. He said that the cop was standing by whoever they stopped, and when he drove by, he just kind of waved, supporting the police. And he didn't have a seatbelt on, and turned around and gave him a ticket. So go figure that one. Sorry, bastards. Always looking out for that money. Yeah.
You have to have permission to drive a car. You have to have permission to go hunting. You have to have permission to carry a gun. You have to have permission to go ride in a boat. You have to have permission to be able to fly a plane.
Yeah. But we're free.
Yeah.
Remember the coward George Zinger, okay, said, we're free, you know. Oh, baby, we're free. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't be a Zinger bitch. Don't become a Zinger bitch and think that way. Because you ain't free. Oh, you're free down there to walk down the street, and you're free to probably spit on the sidewalk unless a cop sees you, and that's probably against the law now. You know, you're free to breathe. You're free to, you know, look at whatever you want to, but don't you dare tell your opinion now. You'll be put in Facebook jail. Oh, my God. You see? Freedom, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Right.
Oh, free to insult your trade.
Oh, yeah, do that, too. Free to insult my trade. You heard him. You was there. You was there. You heard every freaking word of it. Okay?
Yep, every damn word.
Yep. And what did I say? Was I mad? Was I upset? Was I yelling? Was I cussing him out? No, I just simply said, please do not insult my trade. And I've been in the trade when I had to retire for 21 years. And my dad was in it for 52 or 3 years. I'll be a VW master electrician. you know, that's a slap in the face. I mean, that would literally be a slap in the face. If I came up to you and said, well, you're a garbage or you're a dishwasher and your job sucks, motherfucker, you'd probably goddamn slap me in the face because I insulted your job. Well, same thing with mine, even though my job was much higher and much more technical trade than wash dishes. Okay. But it's still the same thing. Still the same thing.
Yeah. He ran a bunch of experts away. He ran you away. He ran Boyd away. He ran
what?
Billy away. He ran
Ron?
Yes. Yeah. Ron, yep. I mean, all these people away from a show that were experts in certain things, and he didn't want to hear it.
Nope.
You know? And he always used to say, oh, I've got X, Y, and Z people at FBI or whatever. Or I've got A1, what was it? What was it that night? A1 technicians.
Yeah, A1.
That's what it was.
Ain't no
A1
such thing.
Technicians.
There ain't no such thing as a freaking A1 technician because nobody knows it all about that. I don't care what kind of technician it is. You don't know it all. Okay? Nobody does. Now you got plenty of good years of experience, like me, Boyd, Ron, you know. We all got good experiences in that. But, you know, we're not we're like, you know, hell, just like the old saying goes, or the most advanced technical question that you could ask somebody is, why is electricity here? Nobody can answer that. Nobody knows. I guess he ain't talking.
Gunslinger's told a story before about you sat in on like an electronics class or something, and this guy was teaching the class. He was a friend of yours, and he was teaching the class, and it was way above you, right?
It was advanced electronics, and I'm going, you know, I understand a lot of it, but boy, when you get up into that theory of electronics and, you know, stuff like that, and I'm going, okay, I can understand you to this point, but beyond this point, please explain in more simpler terms. You know what I mean? Even college level.
It's like some of the stuff he was talking about was probably, if you tried to install it in the field, it'd be hard to put together in the field, you know?
A lot of that stuff is theory, okay? All that, you know, college courses and advanced electronics and all this, electrical engineering and all that stuff. Yeah, it's good to know, no doubt about it, because that's the way the stuff works. But when you go out there and try to apply it in the field, that's two different ends of the horse. Okay, it works beautifully on paper and in the books. I've been there, I've read them, okay, done it. But would you take the same thing, you go out there in the field and try to implicate it in the field, we struck oil. Now what? I didn't cover the book. It didn't say striking oil in that tech book, you know? Same thing.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, as you were sitting in on that class of his, and he's drawing these schematics or whatever it is for this whatever he was talking about, and you're looking at that stuff as he's teaching on it and drawing it and stuff, and you're saying, okay, this could work, but probably can't be applied. In theory, it works, but the application of it is going to be hard.
You know, and every day you don't use that. I mean, you just don't use that. It's great to know. I've studied electrical theory, AC, DC, you know, the whole nine, electronics, with a two-year degree in electronics. But you don't use it every single day. I guess you would if he was an electronic technician, going out and working on computers every day. I guess you'd probably use part of it there. Or even, you know, the advanced part. That's, you know, that's board-level soldering. That's taking parts and building them. And then, now, if I worked for, you know, IBM or something that made these IC chips and had to design them and do all these great and wonderful things, well, maybe you'd use it there. Yeah, obviously. But generally, you don't. You know, generally, you don't. Unless you're in that field. So do that.
Right.
Yep.
I'm sure when what's his name was originally putting together Apple, in his garage, whatever, and he's sitting there working with the chips and working with all this stuff. He had to know a lot of that stuff, or else he wouldn't have been able to put together his original computer get it out, get the concept out there to do whatever, right?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how the thing exactly works with this friend of mine. He's a master electrician. He has degrees in advanced electronics. He's an electrical engineer. He got his master's degree in electrical engineering and a mathematician. I think he got a something degree in mathematics. And I would help him, and he would help me on my jobs, when I was doing electrical work. I was helping him on a little job he had, because he did it on the side. And we was out there hooking up a damn spa. I think it's out in Garland, Texas, out there somewhere, I forget. But it was a weekend, and I think it was Sunday, and everybody was closed, blah, blah, blah. We had to get a part to bend a piece of pipe up to hook up the gazebo, where the spa sits. And he was looking at me, and he said, the Home Depot is already closed. How are we going to bend this pipe over here to go up from the ditch up to the spa, right? And I kind of looked at him kind of funny, because I know his background. He's an expert bookworm, no doubt about it. Okay. I said, give me that freaking piece of pipe. The homeowner was standing there. I said, you got a gas stove in your kitchen? He said, yeah. Come on in here. So I said, we went in there, and I bent that PVC pipe on a gas stove. It was a gas or a stove pipe. I call it stove pipe bend. And the guy looked at me and said, Grasshopper, you got me on that one. I mean, and I'm going, wow, simple, common, everything that you do every day in the trade, and somebody that has advances that you could choke a degree or choke dinosaurs on, couldn't figure out stove pipe bend on a kitchen stove. Wow. I never will forget that. That was amazing. Crazy.
Right, and think about this. We're talking about that in conjunction with these people that think they know things, but they don't, right?
George Zinser.
Yeah. There are three different types of people. There are smart, smart people. There are stupid, smart people. Stupid, stupid people. Mm-hmm. Two of the three know what they are, and they stay in their own lanes. And if they need help, they'll ask for help. The third type was the stupid, smart people. They think they know everything about everything, but they don't know nothing about nothing.
Nope.
That's who they are, and that's what we're dealing with. These Democrats, they think they know everything about. They think they know everything about climate and how it works and all this stuff and how economics works and how this works and how that works, and they don't know nothing about that stuff. That's what we're dealing with here. They don't get that. Okay, an income tax is a tax, but inflation is a tax as well.
That's for sure.
That's for sure. Yep.
There we go. And it's like you, Gunslinger always says, numbers don't lie, but they can be manipulated, right, Gunslinger?
Yep.
So we're looking at the jobs numbers here, and the job numbers, the unemployment numbers are low. Well, no. They're not low. They're high.
They're the opposite. High.
It's the opposite. Inflation is low. No, because the way inflation works is, let's say you have 3% inflation. The next month, you have, it goes up, instead of 3%, it may go down 1% or 2%, but you got to add that 2% to that 3%, and it becomes 5%, right?
Yep.
Month over month, inflation gets higher because you're adding the current inflation to the previous inflation. That's how it works.
Oh, yeah. Exactly what it works. That's why that's why all the problems in this country is like it's a fantasy world. As long as they can get you to believe this fantasy world that everything is so terrible and the economy is so terrible and this and that and this, which they are the original cause of it, then you'll believe it. You take somebody in a dark room and beat the shit out of them for 6 months and you go out there and tell them that the sky is multicolored and pink and pokey, they'll believe you. Okay, if you beat it in their head long enough, it's called psychological warfare. And we're being warfared on right now by all the bullshit that they're saying and doing. But yet the American population just eats it up like it's goddamn cotton candy. Amazing. There's only a few, like people on this show and others out there, that can see through the fog. You know, it's a Wizard of Oz. You know, the great Wizard of Oz, finally when they made their way to wherever it was, they pulled that curtain back. He's a short, sawed-off little fucker. Okay? You know, he's even shorter than Rocket Boy over in North Korea. And yet he was, you know, oh, I'm so mighty and all. You know, you read the story. Okay? Same thing.
Figures lie and liars figure.
There you go. Yep.
Well, see what we're dealing with in the senior living center up there in Washington.
Yep.
I mean, think about it. This guy's a liar. It's been chronicled all his life. Oh, I used to ride this train, and this guy told me, you rode the Amtrak or whatever for 100 million miles or whatever the hell it was. Or, you know, or I rode this train in China with Xi, and I went and visited these monks or whatever it was. Every time he talks, he lies. You know, and it's, you can prove it.
Poopy Pants does the same thing. There was an interview I was watching a couple of days ago, and he was bragging about how he was a top graduate in his law school, all this bullshit. He was a 79th graduate. He wasn't the top. See how he lies? And it's been proven. Okay.
Yeah, he was 79th out of 80.
There you go. 79 out of 80. Boy, that's top.
And the
that's
person,
top. Oh,
and the person he didn't beat was dead.
Yeah, there you go. Man, that's top dog, man. You better go back. You better go to the flight school. Top dog flight school there now. You're a rocket scientist, boy. Super genius. There you go.
Well, you gotta admit one thing, okay? Anybody can grow up to be president. And Biden proves it. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be all here or anything and be president.
Nope. Biden but knows that one.
But the dumber you are helps. To get in, obviously, it was through his case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's crazy. They don't want smart people in there, you know? That's why they hated Trump, and still do, for that matter, because Trump is a smart man. Dumbass Biden is a dumbass, okay? Even me, I don't care if he's been in there for 40 fucking years. He was a dumbass when he got in there, okay? And Trump, at the same time, hell, he was taking his money and turning it into more money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
the Trump Sports Center, whatever building, real estate, you know, all that shit. So what did Poopy Pants do? No, he sat behind a desk, pushed a pencil, and did nothing for 40 fucking years. Okay? Big deal, you know? While Trump was out.